My name is Alex Hebert, and I'm the junior high pastor here, so if you haven't met me, you can come see me after. I'd love to introduce you. Before I get into tonight's study, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, and if you need a Bible, you can raise your hand. We have some men bringing them forward. Very blessed, very honored, and really humbled to be here with you guys in the main sanctuary. As I said, I'm usually across the alleyway in our junior high room, and I really do love being out there. A lot of people, when I tell them I work with junior hires, they're always just like, oh, I don't know how you do that. That sounds crazy. But honestly, the day the Lord calls me out of that, I will miss it because it is such a blessing. But first thing I want to do before we get started is not only, you know, say hi to you guys, but those who are watching on the webcam and stuff. I have a special person who probably isn't watching right now, but will later. So I just want to say hi, Grandma. And you guys don't know how important that is. I just solidified myself as number one grandchild, so... But tonight we will continue in our Momentum series, and we are going to be talking about Moses. Now, Moses to me is one of my favorite characters in the Bible because I feel that in a way I relate to a lot of what he did in his life. I didn't lead a group of people through the desert, nothing like that. But in some of the choices and some of the mindset that he had, if you guys remember, if you were here 2 weeks ago, you got to see Evan and Sandy Wickham, and they led worship. Now, Evan was my junior high pastor, and he was awesome. One day he was driving me home from an event. This is when I was in junior high. And he was just asking me, hey, how'd you get saved? What's your testimony? So I was sharing with him. And he gets super excited and really animated. He's like, oh, no way, bro. Do you want to share that Sunday morning? And immediately I said, no, I'm not that person. That's not me. Don't make me share. Don't make me get on stage. And it's funny now to see that God has made that my full-time job. So he has a great sense of humor. But in that same way, there was a lot of times Moses himself that he had those doubts. So I feel that as God was able to use him, I like to see, you know, what he went through in his relationship with the Lord and tried to apply it to my own life. And I think it's encouraging for all of us. So tonight we'll continue in our Momentum series, as this is now the fourth week in that. We are answering that question, what kept the saints of old going? And it's not what kept them motivated to just keep trying, but what kept them motivated as well when they were knocked down? What kept them in their pursuit in what God called them to do? Really, the easy answer is faith, and we'll get more into that. But we are looking in specific characters on what kept them going. You know, I think about having a New Year's resolution, right? A lot of us have made them over the last month. We said, okay, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop eating these things. I'm going to start working out more. A lot of them have to do with losing weight, but you guys get it. But anyway, we all set our mind like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. And we start off pretty strong. A lot of us, though, we tend to fade away and we forget about that decision that we made. And tonight, though, I want to challenge to think of that in a spiritual sense. What type of resolutions have we made? I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to draw closer to God starting tonight. What's the reason that is fading away, or what's the reason we're not motivated to keep going? What is it that motivates us? We want to stay strong in our relationship with the Lord. We want to make sure that we constantly pursue Christ and make that a daily habit. Not something we only do on Sunday and Wednesdays, but make that a daily habit. So we're asking that question, what is the key to keeping that momentum, to having that strong faith? Well, like any question in life, we can always go to the Bible for answers, right? Okay, I'm going to need you, because I am the junior high pastor. I do ask a lot of participation. So when I say right, I expect you guys to go. Right. There we go. Okay, there we go. Animated Alex. So tonight we're going to look at Moses, as I said. What kept Moses' faith going? Why did he keep charging forward in his walk? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it'll be on the screen. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God of the throne," or the right hand of the throne of God. What a great verse this is, and really on point for tonight and running that race. This verse gives us that clear direction. Just that, run the race. And I love verses that are very clear, for me especially. Maybe you guys can realize. So when we get really clear direction, when we start a new job and our boss gives us like exactly what to do, that just gives me a calm sense, right? Okay, there it is again. Yeah, you guys are missing it, right? Okay, if not, you can say, eh, but it gives us that clear direction, the run race. Okay, but then it tells us how to do that as well. It says, follow Jesus' example. And Jesus is the ultimate example. I'm reminded of this because we are reading through the Gospel of Mark on Sundays in junior high. It's going awesome. And every week I remind our students here that, hey, Jesus here isn't just a guy who did good things. He's not just somebody, a character in our story, but he should be the ultimate example in your life. You know, Jesus lived that perfect life. Tonight, what Jesus did, what we can look to him for the ultimate example of, is that everything he did was begin with that faith. That faith that he had in the Heavenly Father. But I will say this, some of us looking at Jesus as the ultimate example, we get a little bit discouraged because we ourselves, we're not Jesus. We are not the Son of God. So for some of us, we stop before we even start. We are discouraged before we even start pressing forward. But I will say this, the reason we have all these stories in the Bible, and especially the Old Testament stories of these saints that we're talking about, it's because they are men and women that we can relate to, normal men and women that God was able to use. And it wasn't by their power or by their skills, but it was by him and what he did in and through them. And what it started with was a willing heart. Okay, I'm going to need some more participation. So it's what kind of heart? A willing heart. Yes, very good. So it's a willing heart. And I will say tonight for you guys, a challenge that we will end with is asking ourselves, am I willing? Is my heart willing to be used by the Lord? Am I willing to surrender myself, to humble myself to God and follow the example that he has before me, to follow the pathway that he has set? No, we are all different people. We are all going through different situations and times in our lives. But we all have that same initial call that comes from Jesus. After he had died on the cross, but he rose again, he came back with spending time with his disciples. One of the last things he tells them is to go, therefore, and make disciples. That is not just a message for those guys there in that meeting, but it's a message for all of us. It's our purpose in life to go, therefore, to spread the gospel, to tell this world of the good work that Jesus did. Amen? Amen. Amen. That is our calling. We all have that same calling. There will be different opportunities, but that's just it. If we are willing, God is going to present us with those opportunities. Some of us might have it, you know, in our offices or driving, or I can't think of things on the spot, but you guys get it. We're going to have those opportunities if we are willing. God is going to provide them, but we need that solid foundation. We need that solid foundation of faith. So the easy answer, and every week as we're going through these different characters and what kept them going, it is faith. But specifically, how did they get that faith? Where did that faith come from? Well, tonight, we'll look to Moses. What kept Moses going? What kept his faith strong? I asked you guys to turn to Hebrews 11. We'll read that right now. Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming to reproach the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they pressed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. What's the common phrase there? By faith. Yes, that was Moses' key. Quick overview of Moses' life. Moses was born an Israelite baby, as it said here in chapter 11. He was later then raised, though, as an Egyptian because his parents hid him away. He was found none other by Pharaoh's daughter. So he was raised as Egyptian royalty, and he had a great education in that. But then later you read that Moses actually ends up killing another Egyptian man in defense of an Israelites, and this would not be good. So he flees to the wilderness, to the deserts. Now understand, when I think of Egypt, I automatically already think of a desert. But this is describing a desert. So the middle of nowhere. And he goes there and he thinks, okay, this is where I'm going to end my life. He starts a family. Nobody knows him there. Nobody knows his past. But then God calls him to do something great. And he fulfills that call and he goes and he delivers the people out of Egypt, obviously with God's power. And he leads them through the wilderness and then Moses dies. And in the beginning of Moses' life, we see that he did have that rich upbringing and that good education. But in the beginning, you also see that there is a lack of faith and a true lack of understanding of who God is. So where did that faith come from? Here's the key that I want to share with you guys tonight. That faith that Moses had, it came from a personal relationship with God. If you're taking notes, that is really our night's topic. Moses' faith came from a personal relationship with God. In the end, Moses knew his God. There was times in Moses' upbringing when he would learn of the true God of Israel. Okay, first in his upbringing, we know that when he was born, Pharaoh's daughter ended up discovering him, but she was unable to nurse him, so she hired one of her slaves to do that. This woman that ended up doing that was actually Moses' birth mother. It's a whole crazy, awesome miracle that happened in that. Really, God in control of that. But Moses, in his early years, would actually get to spend time with his birth family. And no doubt, they would be singing praise songs and telling him of the Lord. Also, reading through the history of Moses, you see that he had an education through the Egyptians. And in that, he would have to learn, being trained to become an Egyptian leader, he would have to learn of the nations around him. And he would learn of their enemies, of their beliefs, and no doubt he would have the knowledge of Israel and their God, the God that they worshipped. So there was a point where, yes, Moses did know God, but the knowledge of God wasn't enough. He needed that experience with the Lord, that personal relationship with God. There needed to be, first of all, communication. And that'll be the first point of our journey tonight, how Moses came to know God. If you're taking notes, this is number one. I always say that because our junior highs are like, oh yeah, I take notes. So I'll help you guys out as well. And by the way, the junior highs are in here. Hey guys. Yeah, okay. So number one point tonight in asking that question, how Moses came to know God, is communication with God. Moses would have communication with God. In Exodus 3, you can turn there if you want because we'll be there in a second. Exodus chapter 3, God reaches out to Moses. This is where that true growth of faith began with Moses. Exodus 3, chapter 9. This is a conversation between the Lord and Moses. This is the burning bush conversation. Okay, where Moses is an older man now. He thinks his life is done. He is hiding in the wilderness from his past. But God calls him there, and it's an alone time. God speaks to him through this burning bush. And here's just a glimpse of the conversation here I want to focus on, starting with verse 9. It says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me." This is the Lord speaking here. "And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Verse 14, this is the key part. "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" Stop there. I want to break down this conversation. In verse 11, God is giving Moses his plan. He said, "Moses, I have an amazing plan for you. I'm going to use you to go free my people, get them out of Egypt where they are enslaved." But in verse 11, we see here that Moses replies with his doubts. He's like, "God, I don't know if I'm able to do this. I think maybe you've dialed the wrong bush here. You might be looking for the family down the street. I'm an old man." And this was truly the lack of faith that Moses was showing. But God was faithful to answer in verse 12, where he says, "Hey, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Moses, I'm going to be with you when you go speak to the leaders of Israel. I'm going to be with you when you take those leaders and you then go grab the people out of Egypt. I'm going to be with you, Moses." Now understand, it wasn't God just saying, "Hey, I'm going to be with you, I'll see you later." What God was communicating to Moses was, "Hey, Moses, you and I, we're establishing a relationship. I'm here right now and I'm not going anywhere. You and I are going to be pals, we're going to be buddies. Are you ready for this?" Moses is like, "I don't know." Right, a lot of us could probably relate today where we love being home alone. We love like not talking or dealing with other people. But God is like, no, Moses, you and I are going to be tight. We're going to spend a lot of time together. And the reason for this is because spending time together forms a relationship. This was God's purpose in that. See, God is telling Moses, it's important that we get to know each other, that we spend time together, that we communicate with one another, that you can be then open and honest with me, that you can tell me your fears, that we can sing praises together. And know there will be times when I push you, Moses, but don't worry, I'm going to be there with you. And as I'm there with you, you'll be able to know me better. But Moses still had his doubts. Because what Moses was trying to do, he was trying to accomplish things on his own wisdom and his own power. Moses says there in verse 13, he says, "God, I'm Moses. I am nothing. I don't know what to do here. I am not." And once again, God replies back in the best way. He says, "Moses, you are not, but I am." Understand, there was so much power in these two words there, "I am." Because that fulfilled all of Moses' doubts, all of Moses' fears. "I don't think I can be the one that does this." And God goes, "Yeah, you're right. You can't alone. It's going to be me working through the hearts of those people. It's going to be me speaking through you and giving you the words to say to these scary, evil men of Egypt." There was an initial lack of faith here with Moses. But now Moses would be spending time with the Lord. And Moses, in spending time with the Lord, would learn the heart of the Lord. And he would start to trust in the Lord. Moses' faith would start to grow. There was clear communication between Moses and God. This wasn't the only time we see this communication between Moses and God. This is why I love the book of Exodus, because we get these straight up conversations. In chapter 15, chapter 15 is just a big worship song full of praise. And this is right after they have been freed from Egypt. And Moses is leading the charge and leading this worship song to the Lord. This is communication of praise. That is so important that we also have that in our life, to be communicating with the Lord, not only in those good times, but celebrating. God, thank you so much for this. God, thank you that you have given me this. I'm so excited what you're doing, Lord, in the lives of the others around me and in my own heart as well. One of the other conversations we see is found in Exodus 14. This is right before 15. I went a little backwards. But it's on purpose, okay? Moses here in chapter 14, this is, I've said Exodus, one of my favorite books. This is my favorite chapter in Exodus, Exodus 14, where Moses here is crying out to the Lord. Okay, what's happening here? They have escaped Egypt. Pharaoh has let them go. And as they are escaping, they find themselves trapped. Okay, they had been seeking the Lord. Moses had been faithful. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow your pathway. Now, if you are somebody that leads a big group, if you're a good hiker or like you're a military guy, and you looked at the route they took, you'd go, yeah, I would never have taken that route. But God had a plan in all this. Okay, so God leads them down and he leads them. And in front of them is a big sea of water. And behind them is where they came, and it's like a hill. And they go, okay, well, then we're stuck here. And remember, it's not just a couple people. This is millions of people. And they're not strong. They're not a strong army. They are weak. They had just been slaves. So Moses says, oh, okay, what, Lord, what are we supposed to do? And all of a sudden, the Egyptian army starts to come after them. And they're not coming just to take them back to Egypt, like holding their hands. They're coming to slaughter. And in doing so, they're coming down. And the people of Israel, they start freaking out. Moses, you traitor, you have brought us here to die. What did you do? You have been a bad guy all along. And Moses, I would love to be a fly on the wall just to hear what he's thinking. I didn't sign up for this. I was ready to die in that cave, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me through a bush. Now look what's happening. People are complaining. This is a mess. What did I do? But he does the right thing. He cries out to the Lord and says, Lord, help me. I have no idea what to do. Where are we supposed to go? We can't swim. They're going to kill us. And God once more was faithful to answer. He said, Moses, Moses. He's like, yeah, what? Lift up your hands. Like this? He's like, no. Take your staff, lift that up too. Oh, okay.
Like this?
He's like, yeah, watch.
Moses
is like, okay. He's like, open your eyes, Moses. And he looks, and there's this huge pathway, this dry pathway to freedom. Okay, that closed eyes thing isn't in the Bible. I just like to add that for effect. But amazing how God worked there. Once again, Moses was growing in his faith, communicating with God, and then watching what God did. The application for us in learning how to communicate with the Lord, it's two things, and they are both very simple, but for most of us, they're poorly executed. The first one is to be in the Word. Okay? To be in the Word and understand the importance of that, not only, again, on Wednesdays and Sundays, not only when we're about to go to our men's Bible study and we know that the pastor there, he's going to ask us, hey, so what'd you learn? So we read right before in the car. Yeah, I've done that too. If you ever run into Rob Nash, Pastor Rob Nash, you're like, oh, what did I read in my devotions? Because he's the man at asking that. Anyway, but to truly be in the Word in that personal communication with God, where you open up and say, God, please speak to me in this time. Where you are spending time with the Lord. This Bible is not just a book full of good stories. It's not just a book about Jesus, this awesome guy. But it is the Word of God. If you are desiring for God to speak to you, read it. A conversation goes two ways. A relationship takes two people. Okay, it's not just crying out to God constantly. We need to also be listening. We do that by reading the Word. Yes, God can speak in other ways, but reading the Word is so important in our relationship with the Lord. The second thing is also very simple, but that is prayer. That's prayer. And prayer, guys, is so powerful. It's so powerful, and if you don't understand how powerful it is, I would challenge you, maybe we need to do it more. To be in prayer, to be able to cry out to God, to share with him what's going on in our hearts. Sometimes just saying that out loud, man, God speaks to us in those moments. But not only for the things that we need, not only for the things that we desire or the things that we're fearful of, but also to have those that rejoicing time in that prayer. Just like a relationship with your best friend or even your spouse, when you are communicating, you're not always complaining. Hopefully not. Right? But hopefully you're like, hey, dude, guess what happened to me yesterday? It was the best thing ever. I didn't hit a red light. All green lights. Okay, that one didn't land, but next time. But in that same way with God, we can be in constant communication. Now understand the relationship between us and God. It's not him looking over us with a club like, if you did something wrong, I'm going to hit you with this. It's not that. But the relationship with God, thank you, you guys laugh. See, yeah. The relationship with God is this, he's our heavenly Father. And I love that picture of a dad teaching his son or daughter how to walk, and he's holding their hands, and they're like, I'm doing it, right? They're like, I'm doing it. Now, if they trip or fall, the Father there is willing to catch them, willing to pick them up when they stumble, when they fall down. That is the relationship between us and God. That is the willingness that God has in our lives, that closeness. And as we grow older, to grow us, not just to learn to walk, but then to run, but then to ride a bike. The Father is always going to be there. And yes, there's going to be times when we fall down and make mistakes, but he's going to be there to pick you up, to guide you and lead you to move on and get better. That is the way our Lord works. So be in the Word. Be in prayer. The second thing in answering that question, how Moses came to know God, it's number one, communication. Number two is follow through. And that follow through comes with the Word of God. To follow through on God's word for your life. If we truly are practicing that willing heart, God, as I said, will give you those opportunities. Follow through. Don't let them go to waste. And as I say this, you might be confused. How does this relate to Moses? And I would agree, because a lot of times Moses wasn't the greatest example in this. As I said, in my life, when I relate to Moses, that was the example I was giving you. When I told my youth pastor, I was like, no, I don't think so. I can relate, and I guarantee if you ask Moses at the end of his life, what were your biggest regrets? He would say it was the times I told God no, or it was the times I told God I can't. I don't have time for this. I'm not skilled in this. I'm not good enough for this. Those would be Moses' biggest regrets. It was God's desire that Moses speak to the leaders of Egypt. After he had spoken to the leaders of the Israelites and got things done, he had to go even further. But Moses did not fully surrender to God. We find this conversation in Exodus chapter 4. I'll read it to you guys. It'll be on the screen. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since. You have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. This was God encouraging Moses. Moses said, gosh, God, I don't know. I've never done this before. I'm not skilled in this area. Maybe somebody else. And God says, Moses, I'm God. Remember, I am. I'm the one. Yes, you are not a good speaker, but I'm going to teach you how to do this. I'm going to provide the words for you to say. I'm going to give you that courage that you need. Moses answers back in the last verse here, verse 13. It says, but he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send. Moses gives up the opportunity. Moses elects to use his brother-in-law, Aaron. Moses was making excuses to God on why he was incapable of speaking. But this would not hinder the word of the Lord. God's message would still go out. But understand, there would be consequences in this. Moses would miss a lot of opportunity, and there would also be things that he would have to deal with because of this decision that he made. And I wonder in our lives when we deny God or we say, no, not today, God, what consequences will come for us? It's not going to be one where God is striking us down, but just on opportunities that we've missed or things that we later have to deal with as a result. No doubt Moses watched Aaron as Aaron would now speak for the Lord in this time. And I'm sure in Moses watching him being like, man, this is amazing. Look at what God is doing. There would be that sense of shame, that sense of regret. Not sense of hatred toward his brother-in-law in that time, but man, that could have been me. Not for the glory, but man, that could have been me where I know God is speaking through him right now. I want that with the Lord. I gave up. It's so important that we follow through with what God has given us and seize that opportunity for growth. If Moses would have chosen that, he truly would not have missed the opportunity for growth right there and then. He would have been able to move forward with what else God had for him in that time. The third point in this, on how Moses came to know God. First, we have communication with God. Number two, we have follow through with God's word. Number three is going to be that word consistency. Consistency as an attribute of God. This was something that Moses would learn in his relationship with God, and it's something very important that we pay attention to tonight in learning how to be those who have strong faith. If we want to grow our faith, we need to know who our God is. Moses knew his God. He was the God who was consistent. As Moses started to grow deeper in his relationship with God, he would see how God worked in him as an individual. And those times that he was communicating with God and how he was growing more in love with God and the heart for the people around him. Remember, Moses was like, yeah, I think maybe not. Maybe you should use someone else. Moses ended up spending the rest of his life with these people. He learned to love them. There'd be times when there were struggles, for sure. But he had a heart for them, and that was God working through him as an individual. As well as seeing how God worked in the nation of Israel. The things that God provided for them. The miracles that God performed. Literally, when they were wandering through the desert, they had no food. Moses says, hey, God, yeah, the people are complaining, they're hungry, and I'm right there with them. We need some food. And God's like, oh, I'll provide magical food from the sky. That's my power. He's like, okay, great, yeah, thanks. And then once again, they're walking, they have no water. And God's like, Moses, take your rod and hit that stick over there. That's one of the most craziest stories, and I'm sure, again, Moses like, okay, God, like, tap, tap. Oh, wow, look at that. Water. But this was not really a true surprise, because Moses would then remember, oh yeah, remember how God worked in the other guys' lives? Think about Abraham and think about Isaac. God was constantly doing miracles with those guys. And look, he's still doing it today. See, guys, God does not change generation to generation. He's still doing great things today. I mean, I was over here in worship, and I'm just so blessed that we have this place with freedom to worship, that we're all here giving our praises to the Lord. That in itself is a miracle. Much of our world is so much against God and in worship of God, but there's still that freedom. That's something to be thankful for. That is proof that God is consistent in who he is, and truly that he is, that his love is so strong for us. And the big thing that Moses would learn is that God was consistent in how he equipped him, not only with the courage in those times, but really just in the knowledge of who God was. God equipped Moses in many ways, as we had talked about, through his past education, through his conversations with the Lord. Remember, God told him, I am. I am the great I am. I am the one that's going to provide in this time. Moses would be reminded of that fact daily in his walk full of ups and downs. And Moses would see how God constantly kept his promises. And in the end of this, in the end of Moses' life, he would be able to describe God on a personal level. That is one of my challenges for you guys tonight, to be able to describe God. If you were asked the question, if I gave you a piece of paper, I'm going to give you homework tonight, but if I gave you a piece of paper and I said, describe God in 5 sentences, you know, how would that look like? Would it be easy for us? Would we be able to give those personal experiences with the Lord, or would we just go with the general answers? Well, he created the earth, and he's a the Son of God, and he's God. I'm finding that, and working with the youth, I'm finding that that's a pretty common challenge. And I don't doubt that it trickles all the way up here, too, in the big kids' room, the adult room. But to be able to have that true knowledge of who God is, to you personally, can you describe the times that he's worked in your life where he answered a prayer? See, at the end of Moses' life, he was able to do that. And the many examples I've given you, striking the rock and all of a sudden water. At the end of Moses' life, no doubt, that was one of the stories he was telling his grandkids and all the little children around as he's, a pretty old man. And he's like, let me tell you this one time. See that staff over there? Yeah, I hit a rock and boom, water came out. And they're like, how did that happen? It was God. The power of God. And then he does that never mind. 1 Corinthians verse 15, or chapter 15, verses 58 says this: therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What an encouraging verse this is. Understanding who God is gives us that motivation to keep moving forward. And that knowledge of God comes with that personal relationship with God. Understanding that he is the God that loves us. He is the God that provides for us that wisdom and that strength. And all the other great things God has done. Okay, if you want a personal testimony about who God is, start reading the Bible. Be able to describe God and what he had done in the Old Testament leading to the New Testament. Seeing how your life then relates to that. Learning the lessons of Jesus and how those apply to your life. I guarantee all of you guys have an amazing testimony. But a lot of us, because we try to compare it to Jesus again. I go, well, that's not me. My testimony is not powerful. That's not true, because it comes from the Lord. Some of us just give up before we even try. And all these points, Moses was able to establish this strong faith in God. And in the end, Moses didn't just know about God, he knew his God. That's a pretty cool line, right? I could get that tattooed on my arm. Just kidding, I won't. But Moses didn't just know about God. He what? He knew. Oh, see, we're bringing him back. He didn't just know about God, but he knew God, yes. Moses knew God. He had a personal relationship with God. With this relationship came this great faith. Moses knew that he would be able to do great things, and this wasn't on his own power. But this was on the power of God working in and through him. So he would step up and go, okay, God, here we go. Whew. Raise my arms, do something cool. Because this is what you called me to. Okay, God, we're going to keep going through the wilderness here. I want to give up so bad. I want to just die. But God said, keep going. Okay, we'll keep going. Because I know you're faithful, God. I know you have a plan for my life. Now, as we've been reading about these different guys, we're not celebrating these guys in particular. Okay, we're not celebrating tonight Moses and his accomplishments. But we're celebrating instead what God did through Moses, what God did through Abraham, what God did through Samuel. Because as I said, God gives us these examples because he desires to use you and I as well, to use us to do great things. And again, it's not because you guys are popular or you guys have good skills. And I praise the Lord every day that to be used by God, we don't need to be good looking. Amen, right? Yeah. But it is through that willing heart. And that should give you and I hope tonight. If this is your desire, I challenge you to start tonight. To start examining your own heart, really surrendering and humble yourselves. Lord, how can I draw closer to you? Lord, how can I know you better so my strength or my faith can become strengthened? How can I communicate with you better, Lord? How can I follow through on your plan for my life? Moses' familiarity with God, it kept him going. It was Moses' understanding of who God was that kept his faith strong. Again, that should be us as well. Knowing who God is, knowing that is his strength that's going to keep us going. So as we worship here tonight, I'll invite Gia to come back up. But I want to, as I said, encourage you guys to really take that challenge to heart. To not let those opportunities that God has for you pass by. But to really examine and see, Lord, how can I grow? How can I be used by you? We have an awesome church here. I'm really blessed. I grew up here and, you know, the Lord has brought me through great things and it has come just really being able to freely worship in this place. You know, for the last, like, just a couple years, I feel that as a staff here, we've been really trying to see, hey, how can we be used more, not just in this place, but outside of here? And I think it truly does start with this. A lot of us are scared to do that, to go out in the community, to be used in that way. It is a scary thing. So what that takes, though, is that faith and understanding what that is. I truly do believe it starts, though, with that relationship, that personal knowledge of who God is and how he can use us. So let me pray for you guys. Dear Lord God, I'm so thankful that you are the God who loves us. You are the God that has accomplished great things through characters like Moses. But Lord, we don't celebrate these stories, these characters for the men, but Lord, we celebrate because of the power of you and what you accomplished through them. Lord, I pray that this would be an impactful church that would have a willing heart, Lord, to serve you in whatever way, in whatever opportunity that you would put in front of us. Lord, I pray tonight for anybody, Lord, just in this time of worship, that they would just take that time to examine their hearts. Are we willing? Is there something hindering us from drawing closer to you? Lord, grow us and use us in a mighty way, we pray. In your name, amen.